7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and this time we are breaking down the San Francisco 49ers, and we're going to be talking about the offseason moves, their draft that they had, and what we think that they are going to do in fantasy, and where we think that the 49ers are going to end up the year, record-wise, and in their division. But before we get to all that, as always, we are joined with each other, Tim and Tom. Guys, how's it going?
Why you guys sound like a weirdo?
Fine.
We are like joined that? With each other. We're joined here in holy like, podcast not matrimony.
Like, not like a centipede right. man yeah, or whatever that.
Okay, make it even weirder, called? Creepo. No, we all have pants on. Don't listen to weirdo Josh. We're just here trying to have a manly football podcast. Joshua. Yeah,
my bad.
I just feel blessed to have Tim with us today.
Blessed, he says. I feel honestly, it was. I'm not gonna lie to you guys.
He's wearing like a bright pink shirt.
It's actually orange.
I know. I'm just
kind
of looks like magenta.
I almost didn't make it today. Had my I got to attend a 3-year-old preschool graduation today. Solid 2 hours of kids fake singing songs.
They're like ruining kids' lives now.
No, it's actually this preschool is actually pretty cool.
They saying? Shouldn't have a graduation. No, they didn't do anything.
So this preschool is
like getting trophies for last place.
No, I say they actually they their school's on a farm.
They didn't do anything.
So
though.
No, they do like they make them go on hikes.
Can she do addition yet?
Can she do addition?
Yeah, yeah. One pig, two pig, three
like,
pig.
Like what? What does she? She know how to finger paint?
Yeah, she. I mean, my 3-year-old knows how to finger paint. That's no big deal, but. My 4-year-old, no, she's pretty smart. She's pretty good. I was content with, like, it wasn't like the normal preschool of, like...
Did you guys go on a hayride?
Red, blue. No, we went on a hike through the woods.
No hayride.
They had any camels there?
All these four... No, they had horses.
Yeah, it's not a real farm then, Tim.
Yeah, they have horses, pigs...
A camel?
Chickens.
A camel?
What farm do you go on that has a camel? You ever milk a camel, Greg? That's not his other.
Moving on, it sounds like you had a great time, Tim.
No, so honestly, we went and did that, and my kids,
so jealous.
My kids love the hike. I was exhausted. I did not. I'm like, there's no way I'm making the podcast. And then I realized you guys are gonna give me a bunch of crap because I'm not gonna be here next week. Can't take 2 weeks off in a row. It's not kind to
well,
our listeners.
While you were hiking with your preschoolers, I was out buying a motorcycle.
Why? Everything you say is creepy. Literally.
Why?
While I was hiking with my preschoolers.
Isn't that what they are? They're preschool kids, right?
Yeah. That's pretty accurate.
You bought a motorcycle.
So technically you're the creeper.
So not only, I don't think we even talked about, like, a month ago, you're like, guys, I'm building a forge.
Yeah, and I haven't built.
And you're building it, you're begging me, hey, Tim, bring me scrap metal. I told you.
Well, first off, that metal is not very easy to work with.
You didn't say bring me a block of metal, did
not
you?
Like a giant coil. It's for a giant
you
spring.
Said, you said bring
what am
me,
I on forge and fire right
you
now?
Said, bring
no,
me
I can't do that.
Metal. Is that or is that not metal?
Yeah, it's metal.
Done. Tom? Done.
Even
I'm gonna
even,
have to roll with Tim on this.
Even
one.
You thought though, when you saw that, you were like, what the fuck is he doing?
Oh yeah, because the guys on Forge and Fire would probably have an issue with that. But you.
Not my problem.
That is accurate.
Not my problem. You asked for metal. I brought you metal.
Like, I thought it would be better quality.
I'm going to use it regardless. I'm going to learn how to weld, and I'm going to make a knife.
You know what I compare it to? I compare it to this. When I say, Josh, the PKS Studios is freezing. It is so cold down here. And you say, I turned the heat up. I said, oh, you did? What is it over the wintertime? You said, I turned it up from 60 to 61.
About 63.
You did what I asked you to do. Was it what I wanted? No. Same thing. You asked for metal. I brought your metal, you jabroni.
He got you.
Moving on. San Francisco's.
Wait. We're not moving on yet.
Why?
Because a month ago, you say you're going to build a forge. You build a forge.
I got it.
You have all this stuff here to do that.
Yeah.
Now you're buying a motorcycle.
Yes.
We really need to get Tom and I trained on how to do the podcast without you. Because you are going to die soon.
It's possible.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. You and I last week, I got here super early. We drove to the grocery store.
Yeah.
You almost killed us. How? Driving to the grocery. You were doing 85.
You gotta rev the car. Side street. If you have a stick shift car, you have to go fast.
Like, you thought for sure that it was Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
You were trying your
That's
best.
That's what happens when you have a stick shift car.
It's a Honda.
It's made to go fast.
It's a stock Honda Civic. Just because it's stick shift doesn't. You were literally. He was literally doing like 65 on the side streets. And then while he's doing it, he's like, yeah, Becca's always yelling at me, why are you going so fast? And I was like, because this is the only driving I get to do. Cutting corners, cutting people off.
I was. From my road to the stoplight, I hit like 62.
So that to now you on a motorcycle. I hope Becca has fantastic insurance. I know my whole family drove motorcycles. Listen, now granted, you're not as much of a drunk as my father was as a child.
Yeah.
My father, true story, lost a testicle on a motorcycle.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember that?
Yeah.
How do you know that? I didn't know that was common knowledge.
It was his left nut, right?
Well, I don't know.
Never asked him?
No, I never asked. I don't like the guy. I wish he lost both.
Let's move on. Move on. Motorcycles. You going hiking with preschoolers, getting weird.
Tom, what did you do this week?
I played with my dog. It was her birthday Friday, so I made her a steak for Friday, Saturday, ooh, Sunday, nice. And Monday.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
See, I saw your wife messed up the cake.
Yeah.
Good job, Amanda, dumbass.
Fail.
Don't.
I almost hit her.
You should have.
Almost pulled a Reuben Foster, we're talking about the Niners.
How great would it have been if she slid the dog cake so you hit her? I mean, that would be a new.
Oh,
I shouldn't say great. That's probably pretty offensive.
That's not good at all. Moving on. Sorry, off-season moves. Jimmy Garoppolo signs his 5-year contract extension with the San Francisco 49ers after being traded there last season. How big is this for the San Francisco 49ers, signing him to a contract extension this quick?
Monster.
It's huge. One of the hardest things in the NFL is finding a franchise quarterback who can win, who can turn your franchise around. And Garoppolo showed last year in the small sample size that that's what he can do. His team looked completely different when he was the quarterback.
Is it questionable, though?
A little bit, but he's going to get paid at somewhere. So they had tons of cap. Might as well sign him.
I don't think it's questionable at all. This is a quarterback league.
Yep.
He proved last year no wins without him. Undefeated with them. There's no... That's all the writing on the wall that you need. I love it even more because you finally get to see the Patriots fucked up. They messed up so bad. They waited till the regular season instead of last offseason when they could have gotten one, if not two, first-round picks for Jimmy G. Instead, they got a second, right?
Yep.
A second-round pick for... You're talking about a top 15 quarterback on the top half of the league. Gets a monster deal. This is going to go down as the worst move in New England Patriots history.
A couple contract extensions for some offensive linemen. Daniel Kilgore and Gary Gilliam. Offensive lineman, center, and I believe he's a tackle, right?
I believe so.
Gilliam. But two contract extensions for them. Marquise Goodwin, another contract extension, 3 years for Marquise Goodwin. 5'9" guy, 180 pounds, was with the Niners last year, started all of the games last year, had highs in receptions, receiving yards, receiving average, and had two touchdowns. Basically just getting more and more weapons for Jimmy Garoppolo here.
It's crazy what a good quarterback and a good offensive scheme can do for a player. Goodwin, he looked like a complete failure, looked completely lost in Buffalo. He's a former, I believe he was on the Olympic level for sprints. So this dude is fast. He can move. Normally the transition doesn't go too well, but it's working out for him now, and he's finally getting paid like a big boy to be in San Francisco and be one of the crucial parts of that offense.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned all the offensive line moves. Gilliam is he was slated in right now as a right tackle. Obviously, the draft we'll get to change that a little bit as well. He's probably going to be a backup now. Nevertheless, yeah, I mean, they were able to overhaul their offense mid-year and then continue on that trend in the offseason, and they're set, man. It's pretty crazy.
The Niners needed some help in the secondary. They went out and signed Richard Sherman, of course, from the Seattle Seahawks.
See how much gas he has left in the tank. You know, he was banged up a little bit last year. Kind of took an average contract. There's not a lot of dead money. The Niners can pretty much get out of it whenever they want to. So if he is struggling, they can get rid of him. But he fits that scheme. They're pretty much mimicking what the Seattle Seahawks did on their defensive side of the football. And now you bring over one of the important pieces of that elite Seahawks defense in Richard Sherman. Plus, get to use their old weapon against them to try to stop the Seahawks.
I love it for so many reasons. You mentioned I love the interdivision face of a team type guy going to another interdivision. It doesn't always work out. I don't expect Sherman to, you know, run buck wild over the NFC West, but he's going to start for them. He's going to get, you know, he's a above average cornerback, which is more than good enough for what they're going to go up against. And beyond that, there's a lot of young DBs on that team. You're talking about this offseason, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least rookies coming in who are going to be fighting for spots. You have other guys, you know, Jaquisi Tartt is halfway decent. Obviously, he's a safety, but Jimmy Ward, and then Akella Witherspoon. What's he going to do? He was a rookie last year, right? Yeah, for Colorado, right? Putting him with Richard Sherman, getting that attitude, getting that swagger, getting the mentality of we are a defense. Linebackers in front of you, you know, this is what we need. Obviously, you have Malcolm Smith there, but this is what we need. This is what we're, you know, how we're going to build a team. Look for Reuben Foster, if he's playing, if he doesn't get the Zeke treatment, to grow exponentially over this next season with someone like Richard Sherman behind him. Richard Sherman is a attitude setter, I guess, for a whole defense.
Originally drafted in the 2014 draft, Wesson Richburg, guard/center, coming over from the Giants, signs a 5-year contract, adding more pieces to that offensive line. I believe that was three offensive linemen now for the offseason for the 49ers here. Started 15 games at left guard in 2014. And then in 2015 to 2017, started 35 regular games, and in the postseason at center, adding more piece of that offensive line.
Richburg's going to be the center for this franchise. And he got paid, and he's nowhere near elite in my eyes. I don't even think he's a top 10 center. He's getting paid like one right now. It's kind of crazy. We saw all these former New York Giants offensive linemen leave and get big-time money when they were one of the worst offensive lines last year. But most of those guys were injured. But this should be an upgrade for them at the center spot.
They're bringing in guys who, in my opinion, were put in bad situations. Lakin Tomlinson in Detroit.
Yep.
Richburg in New York. Not necessarily played to their strengths in the systems because those offensive lines were so weak. This offensive line now, they have the ability, you know, they're seven deep. They have the ability to kind of move some pieces around to get everyone in the right spot. They have someone like George Kittle at tight end who can help them out at least a little bit. This offensive line is going to be a top 10 O-line, in my opinion.
On March 13th, Jerick McKinnon went out and signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then decided he did not want to sign there. And then on the 14th, he signed with the San Francisco 49ers. 2014 NFL draft is when he came in. He was a third-round pick when he got drafted, obviously. Played a lot of games for the Vikings, especially with the recent injuries to Dalvin Cook last year, the year before with AP, and probably the year before that as well. Coming in here, and they want him to fill that Devonta Freeman role.
Yep.
What are your guys' thoughts?
I love the landing spot for him. I'm glad he came to San Francisco instead of Tampa Bay, in all honesty. But it's what's going to be intriguing is if he could handle being the lead dog. He's never had that responsibility. I believe he was a quarterback in college as well, so he's pretty new to this position. But he's a freak athlete. He's a good receiver out of the backfield, and that's what we've seen out of these Kyle Shanahan running backs. If they are a good receiver, they're going to flourish in this system, and I think McKinnon's going to blow up this year.
It's going to be the guys behind him. What are they going to bring to the table? Is Joe Williams going to be even a little bit of what we thought he was going to be last year before he got hurt and ended his season? Is Matt Breida going to be able to show some more of that success that he had? Is it Jeremy McNichols going to step up, you know, and come out of nowhere? He has to have a complimentary back. Yep. He has to have it, end of story, in order for him to have success. But I read a report that he was ready to sign with Tampa Bay. He was about to grab the pen, and Jameis Winston went to hand him the pen. He took it. He shook his hand, but his hand was wet from licking his disgusting fingers over and over. And that's what McKinnon said, that I'm out. Broke the pen, ripped the contract up, and flicked off Jameis Winston and walked out.
A couple more signings. We had Jeremiah, how do you say that? Atachu?
Atachu.
Jonathan Cooper and Corey Toomer.
I think the Jonathan Cooper, that's a big signing right there. Former first-round pick, early first-round pick, played with Dallas last season, filled in on that offensive line. That's good guard depth right there. And Jeremiah Atachu, pretty much been a situational pass rusher for the Los Angeles Chargers. And they need a better rotation on this defensive line. He's going to come in when it's third and long, passing downs, and give him 10 to 15 good snaps a game possibly and help him out.
Rotation pieces. Yep. This just reminds me a lot of how the Seahawks had their big guys, but then they had a good rotation of players who could just, you know, fill holes. 49ers are doing just that.
All right. Moving on to the draft for the 49ers. And with their first overall pick, they decided to go kind of the way not a lot of people thought they would go. Offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, Mike McGlinchey. But somebody thought they would go with Mike McGlinchey.
Who?
And that was me.
You really called that, Josh?
I did.
I know.
I did.
Just sick of hearing it every freaking week and every text message you send.
Well, when you get nine out of the nine picks correct, players, the teams, you know, it's kind of understandable.
You didn't get nine out of nine, you schmuck. You got nine out of 32.
I said nine out of all the teams. I didn't say 9 out of 9. You got ears? Can we replay that?
I do. Replay it. Well, but you said 9
after,
out of 9.
After we're done.
All right. You're going to feel like an idiot.
I'm not.
You okay.
Let's 17 minutes and 34 seconds.
Did you pause it?
No. Just remember that.
The Niners, they started off last season, is one of the worst teams on paper. A lot of people were predicting them to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And then, right before the trade deadline, Bill Belichick gave John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan a nice present, Mr. Jimmy Garoppolo. Once Jimmy G started playing, the 49ers actually looked like a real football team. They looked like they could possibly be a force in the future in the NFC. Won 5 games in a row, including a dominating performance against the Jacksonville Jaguars and that top-ranked defense last season. When you get a quarterback, there's two things you need to do. You need to protect him and put weapons around him. In the first round, they decided to protect their franchise quarterback, getting Mike McGlinchey out of Notre Dame. Notre Dame's been churning out stud offensive linemen for the past 5 or 6 years. Two of them went in the first 10 picks in this year's draft. I think this is a home run pick for them. It makes sense. I'm a little pissed off I didn't see this coming like Joshua did. But he's pro-ready. He's versatile. Played both left tackle, right tackle at Notre Dame. Kind of got beat up a little bit by a lot of draft pundits out there for the Miami game, the Georgia game. But if you watch that whole Georgia game, he had 2 bad plays the whole game. They were kind of meaningful, came at terrible times.
Bad times, yeah.
But watch him against Bradley Chubb against NC State. He more than held his own against the best edge rusher in this class, who's also a top 5 pick in this class. I have all the faith in the world that McGlinchey is going to be their starting right tackle of the future, possibly move over to the left side. And the Niners also traded Trent Brown to the Patriots. So clear-cut starter right here for McGlinchey and the Niners.
Yeah, I don't get, again, where all the hate comes from. I mean, I don't know if it's because people, you know, thought that they were going to try to put him at left tackle or whatever. He, to your point, Tom, he is a starting right tackle in the National Football League and a damn good one immediately.
Yep.
Those two tackle positions, I mean, how many, listen, you can't bash the Quentin Nelson pick and say, well, guards this, guards that, guards don't really mean anything. Tackles are where it's at, blah, blah, blah. And a team goes out there and takes the best available tackle who's going to start on their team immediately to protect their newly paid franchise quarterback, and you want to give him shit. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. McGlinchey, like you say, is he, you know, a clean-cut prospect? No. But no tackles are, especially in this draft. There was no other tackle remotely close. And I'm going to take some credit for once because I told you guys a year ago that McGlinchey was going to be the number one tackle taken. That it just makes too much sense for the 49ers. It's a perfect pick. He's the best overall and the most talented. He's definitely a right tackle in this league with the possibility of moving over to left tackle at some point. It was a weak tackle class.
Yep. Yeah, it was. With the second round pick. Pick number 12 overall. I believe the 49ers here, in my opinion, reached a little bit. They traded up Dante Pettis, wide receiver out of Washington. And in my opinion, if you're trading up that high in the second round, we saw how many wide receivers went in the first round. Not very many. So this would be at a spot where you see the rest of the big name guys go. And I did not have Dante Pettis' name penciled in here in the second round. Kind of a shocker for me because he's more, in my opinion, a low-end number two wide receiver, high-end number three, and probably a return guy. But I thought they already had a guy on their team with Trent Taylor where he was the return guy. So it was kind of a shock for me. Kind of like you look at the wide receivers, he's kind of like all the other wide receivers they already have. But you look at Pierre Garçon, he's getting older. So, I mean, I understand it, but at the same time, still kind of a shock pick for me.
Josh, stop justifying it. This pick gets an F for me. I do not give off Fs easily. I think this might actually be the first F that I've ever given anyone for any pick ever, in all honesty. I hate it. It makes no sense. I would have taken every other wide receiver that was taken after Pettis before him and not had to trade up to do it. Oh, no, they didn't have a second-round pick, so...
They did.
They still had one.
I don't know if it was the Patriots pick. It was late in the
20s. Whatever it is. I mean, regardless. Who was taking here? Christian Kirk. Anthony Miller. James Washington. DJ Chark. All of those wide receivers I would have taken taken before him.
The DJ Chark there would have been very interesting.
Anthony Miller there would have been ridiculously interesting.
For me, I agree with everything you guys are saying. He was 72 on my big board, went 44. Definitely went around too early in my eyes. But I still get the pick. And I mentioned earlier, you got to protect your quarterback, put weapons around him. They are committing to that strategy. It is smart. And Pettis, to me, he doesn't have that ability to be a game changer. I don't think there's any chance that he develops into a clear-cut number one wide receiver in this football league. But he's technically sound. He's a very good route runner, reliable hands, reliable wide receiver all over the place. He sees the field well. You brought up his return ability. He has the most punt returns return for a touchdown in NCAA history.
Yep.
That's an added bonus. It's not something I'd want to take in the second round, third, fourth round, anywhere in that range. I think the pick makes more sense, but this is more of a complementary piece to this offense right now.
With that said, I do think that there is going to be some fantasy value for Dante Pettis, similar to the Will Fuller fantasy value for the Texans. I think it's going to be a very similar comparison there.
Moving on, third round pick, sixth overall in that round, Fred Warner out of BYU, linebacker.
Linebacker could still possibly be a big-time need for this team with all the uncertainty around Reuben Foster. Addressing the linebacker spot was probably a necessity for this football team. Warner, he was 49th on my big board. So if you flip him and Pettis, these two picks make a little more sense according to my value.
I'll give you that.
And this is probably my favorite pick for the 49ers in general. He was a Senior Bowl standout, very good in coverage, extremely athletic. He's still raw. BYU kind of used him in a weird way, kind of like in a box safety type role. But if they put him at the Will linebacking spot, you put Reuben Foster at the mic, and you just let Fred Warner just chase plays down from the weak side, just read, react, and use his physical gifts. I think this is a home run pick, and I think he could be a starter early for them and be a longtime starter for this team as well.
Todd Gurley, David Johnson, and whoever the hell wins the Seattle Seahawks lottery at running back.
They're going to stop the run.
My point is, this is exactly what that pick was for. Hey, Reuben Foster, we don't know if he's going to be there, but even if he is, you know what? Let's add someone else who's a great tackler, has some closing speed, has that inside linebacker speed that you want. Not an extremely clean prospect, but very raw and has the ability to immediately make an impact in the league. I agree with what you said, Tom. If you put Warner in the second round and then Pettis in the third round, all right, I'm sold. I think the 49ers got a steal with this pick.
Late in the third round, they take safety out of Southern Mississippi, Tavarius Moore.
Biggest question for me with Moore is where the Niners are playing him. I believe they listed him as a defensive back when he was drafted. You got to look at his measurables. He's 6'1". He's got a very long wingspan, very fast, 4.32 40-yard time. Those measurables kind of scream like they're drafting him to possibly be a cornerback. You look at the other cornerbacks on this team, and they're almost identical in size and length and speed. But, yeah, he primarily played safety in college, a good center field type safety, which they also need for this football team. And they're starting free safety right now, Jimmy Ward, free agent next year. So there's chances that he could be used as a safety or a cornerback. Adds a little versatility there. It'll be interesting to see where they actually put him, though.
I don't like it. I don't like taking someone without a defined position, yeah. Especially at this point.
Still early.
If you wanted a safety, you could have taken Jordan Whitehead out of Pittsburgh, who I believe went the following round. And then the kid from Alabama, Anthony Everett, went the following round as well if you wanted a corner. And there were there were numerous other people who went later in terms of secondary positions. In the third round, it's still a guy that you're wanting to make an impact kind of immediately. You want him to be able to play. Not saying that he can't, but when you don't know where he's playing, you don't know kind of what he can do. He only had one good year in college. It wasn't like he was a four-year starter by any means, or a dominant four-year player. Just a lot of questions there. I don't like the pick.
Fourth round, pick number 28. Defensive end out of NC State, Kentavious Street.
Day one, day two, I think the 49ers did a pretty good job drafting. And then this pick happened. Kentavious Street, he was, I believe, 119 on my big board before he suffered the knee injury. I took him off my top 200 because he's going to probably have to redshirt his first year in the NFL. So this pick is kind of a head-scratcher for me. But he was one of the vital parts of that North Carolina State Wolfpack defensive lines this season. They were one of the best units overall in the NFL. Very productive player there. Has the speed, size, strength to really hold up against the run and when attacking the quarterback. I like him as a player, but I think they drafted him way too early. And this football team right now needs more people that can step up day one, get in that rotation, and make an impact. And next year, they're probably going to lose Eric Armstead in free agency, one of their current starting defensive ends. Maybe they're hoping Street will take over him next year, but that's a lot to ask for a guy who will technically be a rookie next year as well.
Don't get it. You see two picks later, Josh Sweat go. Obviously, there's a lot of issues there as well, but with the issues here, Sweat is a much better prospect. Much, much better. More just naturally gifted, more technically sound. Why not take Sweat here over Street? I don't get the pick. I hate it. I think there's a chance, they're just going to start him and put him on the injured reserve right away and maybe play him next year. But, you're drafting a guy here in the fourth round who you're hoping becomes a special teams player or a rotation DN, where you take a Josh Sweat, hope he comes back and you're getting an extra pick next year because you're getting a true edge rusher because Sweat's that type of talent. I hate the pick a lot.
Fifth round, fifth pick overall there. Cornerback out of Kansas State, DJ Reed.
according to my board, very big-time value here. He was 102 on my board. Got him at 142. Good job drafting right here. But he's going to be a nickel cornerback for this football team. Lacks that size, that length that they normally look for perimeter cornerbacks on this team. I think he's kind of the perfect example of why you don't draft nickel cornerbacks or super undersized cornerbacks early in the NFL draft. Because you can get fantastic value later in the draft. He's going to play slot for them, special teams. He's got good feet, good reaction skills, and I really like him. There's a good chance that he's starting for this football team at the nickel spot.
Tom, we're on the same page here. I couldn't agree more. I love this pick for them. He's someone who's going to play all over the field. He's someone who's going to... like you said, he has that center fielder vision, but as a cornerback, his speed is his biggest asset. How he responds to the physicality of the league will play a large part into how he translates here. But I love this pick for a team that we mentioned earlier. It needs a lot of help at cornerback. This is perfect. This is great.
Couple late round guys, sixth and seventh rounders. Marcel Harris, safety out of Florida. Julian Taylor, defensive tackle out of Temple, and Richie James, wide receiver out of Middle Tennessee.
Harris is another guy that missed he missed his whole season.
Torn Achilles.
Achilles injury. He's one of those hard-hitting, big-time thumper, run-stuffing, box safety types, possibly a backup to Tart at the strong safety spot. Taylor, he's just another rotational piece. He might have a hard time making this football team. Needs to hit the weight room quite a bit. Most likely Sheldon Day, DJ Jones, and Ronald Blair will all be above this guy in the depth chart. And Richie James, he's a slot wide receiver. I really don't get this pick. Got a lot of small receivers currently on this football team. Drafted some last year, and even Pettis can be considered a slot receiver. So, I don't know. He might just be a camp body right now.
I'm going to be very interested to see how... You know, John Lynch has gotten nothing really but rave reviews, you know, since kind of, as everyone thought, you know, pulling the wool over the Bears' eyes with the Trubisky trade last year. But he made a lot of questionable moves here. And within the defensive back position, which was his position in the NFL. So I think it's going to kind of say a lot as to, is he seeing more than... Is he what we're all seeing? Does he know something we all don't? Or is it him trying to be the smartest guy in the room and reaching for guys and it's just not paying off?
Yeah, because you look at it, defensive backs-wise, one, two, three of them in this draft here. Signed one in free agency, extended one in free agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting to see that. And I guess you can kind of say the same thing with John Elway with the quarterback position. Kind of maybe some of these guys that whatever position they play, that's kind of where they're honing in a little bit more, obviously because they have that experience there.
Yeah, John Elway sucks.
What do you guys give the 49ers here ranking for their offseason moves in the draft and in the offseason?
I'm going to give them a C+. I think they did a good job on day one and day two. Day three was head-scratching. Didn't address the wide receiver position like I thought they would have in free agency. And I don't think Pettis has had a chance to be a legit number one for this football team. I think they're heading in the right direction, though, but just not overly too excited on this draft. And I think they reached on too many picks.
I gave him a D. McGlinchey is the only pick that I am super high on. I like the Fred Warner pick. But they reached at 212, and they reached again on day two with 331 with Moore from Mississippi State. And then you go on, and it's just it's one of those from all four through seven, all those picks, it's one of those things where it's like everything that you do, I would have done differently. Like, I just don't – not anything against Reed I like, obviously, but – it's just there were so many other picks there that could have been made, and I think they lost an opportunity to add a lot of depth to this team.
Yeah, it was a very interesting offseason. I thought that they added a lot of pieces on that offensive line, like we discussed. And then for them to go out and draft an offensive tackle like that and then trade away an offensive tackle, I think that was just kind of, it made sense. You draft one, you have to get rid of one, right? But I thought it was very questionable if you had a tackle and you thought you were good to go. It was just very interesting. And then I'm not super high on the Jerick McKinnon as your starting running back and then Matt Breida as your backup. You don't know what you have in Joe Williams. So I thought that was very interesting. I thought they may have tried to add another running back in the offseason as well on top of Jerick McKinnon. That did not happen besides signing Mostert, which is not a signing in my opinion. So it's very interesting. And having all slot wide receivers for your wide receivers, it's very confusing.
I still don't get why Dez doesn't go there. They have the money.
Yeah.
Why does it 1 year pair up Dez with Jimmy G? You mentioned it's nothing but slot wide receivers.
Yeah.
Throw Dez in there. You can pay him 1 year $12 million.
Well, maybe they don't want to ruin what they have right now. They have They have three returning wide receivers from last year. Their top three guys, Trent Taylor, which is awesome in Madden, by the way. Goodwin, right?
Yep.
And Pierre Garçon is coming off of injury. So
but you make it easy. Dez, if you are on our roster through the whole regular season, this is your salary. Tier it. If you're only on a roster between week 1 and 4, this is your money. Through 6 and 8, this is your money. Give them that opportunity to listen, Dez. You already shit the bed on the Baltimore Ravens.
Should have went to
you
Baltimore.
You can say that you don't care. You're glad you did, but you're wrong. You do care because now no one wants to pay you, right? We're going to give you a tiered system. If you're able to keep it all together, help our young guys, give us a chance to win right now, and you are on our roster at the end of 17 weeks, your salary is $12 million. But if you start acting up, there's stuff in the media about we can cut you at any time, and if we cut you by this time, you only make this much money. Tier it the right way. It happens all the time in the NFL. And you can't tell me that Dez, with a gunslinger quarterback like Jimmy G, everything you hear about the 49ers right now is that's the place to be. It's young. It's excited. There's no expectations. The Rams are still the kings of that division, so there's still no expectations. Go there. See if you can make it happen. Prove yourself with one of the best up-and-coming quarterbacks. It's a win-win situation for both sides.
Moving on to the fantasy aspect for the San Francisco 49ers, starting off with quarterback. Obviously, we got Jimmy Garoppolo. Last year, he finished as quarterback number 34. Obviously, he only played in 5 games, had 87.9 points. Look at CJ Beathard. He played 6 games, finished number 33.
You're my boy, Josh.
And he had 88.8 points. So pretty similar point standings-wise, but obviously 1 game difference. Jimmy Garoppolo, where do we think we're going to see him at the end of the year, fantasy-wise, for quarterbacks?
I think that 12 to 15 range.
Yeah.
That's where I put him at. I think there's enough tape on him now from the end of the year for teams to kind of break him down a little bit. I do believe he's extremely talented, but I don't know if he's going to have enough there to push that top 10 upper echelon. He will be one of my, if you're one of those fantasy players that likes to wait until the 13th, 14th round, wait till late, fill the rest of your roster, fill a bench spot or two, and then take your quarterback and then kind of stream throughout. Jimmy G is your guy this year, I think. A Jimmy G, a Mitchell Trubisky. This year is great for young talent who you might get a steal super late in the draft. So I'm excited to see what happens. But, yeah, I think 12 to 15 is a safe bet just outside of that number one starter spot.
Yeah, that's where he will be going for me. But I know in most leagues he's going to go earlier than that. Done a bunch of best ball leagues drafts this week. He was going as quarterback 8.
Bet you he's going above Philip Rivers.
Hold on. Explain to the listeners because you had to explain best ball leagues. Ben. Best ball league. Explain that, please.
There's 17 roster spots. You only start a quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 receivers, 1 tight end. You just draft as many at any position you want, and they'll automatically start the best player available that week. And then the winner of the league, winner takes all at the end of week 16, whoever has the most points. But, yeah, he's going as quarterback like 8 to 9 in those on the draft.com.
And that bodes,
that's nuts.
It bodes extremely well for the Philip Rivers, for the Ben Roethlisbergers of the world, even the Derek Carrs of the world, if John Gruden stops going insane.
Because I was waiting until like round 10 to get a quarterback, and I was getting like Andrew Luck, Philip Rivers in the 12th, Derek Carr in like the 13th or 14th. I'm feeling good at my quarterback position there.
Wow.
And Garoppolo's going in like the 7th or 8th above crazy. A lot of proven quarterbacks who've been a top 5 finish. And a lot of fantasy is what people have done for you lately. He looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the league last year, and it's going to be tough. I don't think he'll end up on a lot of my teams because I think people are going to value him too highly, but I do like the kid, and if he was the 12th quarterback off the board, I would think about taking him there.
Let's move on to the running back position. They are led by newly acquired Jerick McKinnon. They have Matt Breida and Kyle Juszczyk, and of course, there is no more Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde finishes a top 10 running back in fantasy last year. McKinnon comes in slightly smaller than Hyde, but a better receiver. As a rusher, probably I would probably compare the two pretty close. Hyde maybe slightly higher, but McKinnon definitely better in the receiving aspect.
Yeah, Hyde was not the best fit for Kyle Shanahan's scheme last season. I think that's why they invested a lot of draft capital into running backs. One of them did get hurt, and we did see Matt Breida be somewhat successful there. But we saw the potential of this offensive system, this offensive scheme, what a good running back can put up. And I don't think McKinnon is going to be a top 12 running back like Hyde was last year. I'm not going to be drafting McKinnon to be that, but I'm going to be drafting him somewhere in between the 15 and 17 range. I'm going to value him as a running back 2 right now, a mid-level running back 2, and I think that is fair value for him. I think he's got upside, especially in this system, and I know you guys don't agree with me 100% on that, but he's a guy that I'm targeting right now. But the love might get a little too high. I've seen him go and
end of the second round.
Yeah, end of the second round. A little crazy, but
I'm very interested to see, especially this. Listen, we have notoriously been Carlos Hyde haters. I've tried to adjust after last year and how we were kind of embarrassed. I mean, I'll just start more receptions last year. Jerick McKinnon or Carlos Hyde.
Hyde did, right?
Yeah, by 8.
He also played the whole season as a starter.
Yeah.
True.
McKinnon played 11 games as a starter.
I understand that, but still at the end of the day, I mean, and on top of that, you had 90 more rushing attempts by Hyde as well. Hyde at least has proven he can be the bell cow.
Yeah.
He can be that guy. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, this year's different in Cleveland. It's a coin toss right now of know what's going to happen. McKinnon's not proven yet. That's my only concern there. He's not proven, and like I mentioned earlier, what's going to happen? Who's going to be his complement back? He has to have one in order for him to be successful. So I'm interested to see how San Francisco is able to utilize him, utilize the number 2, number 3 running back, and make it all work.
Moving on to wide receivers, we have Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor, Pierre Garçon, and Dante Pettis. And if you look at Pierre Garçon, honestly, the start to his season was really, really good for PPR standards, regardless of him not scoring a touchdown in any of those games. He only played in 8 games total. He got hurt in that last game, so 7 full games. But he was getting 9 targets per game, which is huge.
And he had, what, Blaine Gabbert throwing him the football, yep. And I don't know if Beathard was in there yet. But, yeah, now he's
hard.
It's not be hard, but it is fantastic. But Jimmy Garoppolo's a better quarterback than anyone that he had last season. He was brought in to be the leader of this football team, or the wide receiver group of this football team. I think he's still got some football left in him. A little worried about the injuries the last couple of years. He's struggled to stay healthy. That is one reason I might be shying away from him on draft day. I absolutely love Trent Taylor. I don't know if he's going to really be fantasy viable. I think he's a good slot receiver. Goodwin's a guy late rounds that you could be targeting if you're looking for a high upside guy.
It's tough because I love Jimmy G. I think he's going to put up some big numbers. I just think it's going to be one of those things this year where if you play Garcon, it's going to be Goodwin. If you play Goodwin, it's going to be Kittle. If you play Kittle, it's going to be McKinnon.
I think there's still a couple people away. They need at least, and maybe Dez is one of those names, but at the same time, I think they still need one more solid star piece.
You put Dez in the top 24 if he ends up in San Francisco?
I would, yes.
He'd be at the back end, but he'd be up there.
He'd probably be at like 21 for me.
Better than like 60 or whatever he's at right now because he's not on a team.
Moving to tight end, we have George Kittle and Garrett Celek.
I love George Kittle this year.
Who doesn't love George Kittle?
He's kind of that hot name right now. You know, you got the big, there's like 7 or 8 guys that you can somewhat rely upon. And then it's like an O.J. Howard, David Njoku, George Kittle, Jack Doyle, that kind of group right there.
Kittle started out real hot in the beginning last year, didn't he?
I think it was later on. Was it late? I know he torched the Colts. He had a big-time game against them.
Everyone did.
Had a bunch of receptions, I believe, later in the year when Garoppolo was healthy. But I like Kittle, and a lot of people weren't talking about him last year. Last year's tight end class was fantastic. He was kind of one of the sleepers, but he tested well at the combine. He can block. He came from Iowa, so he's not going to be off the field on blocking situations, but he could also line up in the slot and create mismatches that way. I like Kittle in this system. Really haven't seen a ton of super productive tight ends out of Kyle Shanahan besides a Jordan Reed in Washington when he was there for a little bit. Atlanta really didn't have much going on there. But I like Kittle. I think he's a number one tight end for me. I'll probably be drafting him somewhere 8 to 10 range. I'd feel comfortable with tight end off the board.
Josh, I have a question after you talk about Kittle.
No, good.
Okay, then for both of you. This season, George Kittle or Austin Hooper?
Kittle, 100%.
Yeah, Kittle as well. Okay. I'm a big Kittle fan. I like Kittle.
He looks like he smokes meth.
He does.
I don't know if you saw his picture. He looks like he from Iowa. He smokes it. He deals it at least.
That's what happens when you eat a lot of corn.
Anything else on this San Francisco team?
He went to Iowa. He's from Wisconsin.
Where do we have the Niners finishing?
I think they're going to finish second in the NFC West this year. I think the Seahawks will have a little bit of a down year. I'm not really believing in what the Cardinals are doing 100% right now. They're probably a year or two away. I think the Niners are the second-best football team in this division. They'll end up somewhere around 500, 8-8 or 9-7 is what I'm thinking.
Make the playoffs?
No. NFC is too stacked right now.
They have some tough games ahead of them. The division, you know, what they do with the Rams, if they can split with the Rams and then they play the NFC North, which is no easy task. But they have the, if you want to call it the a good thing of, you know, they play like the AFC West, they play the Chargers. They have to play the Giants, but the Giants are coming across country. So it'll be interesting. I have them at, like, as a wild card team, 9-7, pushing for a wild card spot. I think the Seahawks are going to be atrocious this year. I see them around 4 wins, which is hilarious.
4?
Because I had them that way last year, and they did pretty well for what they have as a team. Cardinals are closer to, you know, a 7-9, a 6-10 team. I think the 49ers are going to surprise some people. Kyle Shanahan, you know, he was able to have a lot of success in Atlanta, and what he is building in San Francisco outside of his draft picks is absolutely fantastic. So I have them around 9-7 this year. If they overachieve 10-6, the Rams still win the division, but the 49ers end up pushing for a wild card spot.
Yeah, right now I have them penciled it in 9 wins and making the playoffs.
Listen, if the Jaguars and the freaking Tennessee Titans can do it, there's
no Bills.
Doubt. Yeah.
The Bills, friggin'.
It's making it with a quarterback they didn't even want.
For me, though, the NFC is a different animal than the AFC is right now.
True.
You saw a lot more. The two wild card teams from the AFC were definitely not on par with the teams that were making the wild card spot from the NFC. And you got the Vikings, who should have been in the NFC Championship game. Or they were, but they got blown out. The Saints should have been in the NFC Championship game, a freak play. You got the Rams, Eagles. That NFC East is getting better. That Dallas Cowboys offensive line is scary. There's just a lot of good football teams right now in the NFC.
I mean, you go through their first 6 weeks. So you have the Vikings, who were a playoff team, the Lions, who just missed, the Chiefs were a playoff team last year. Obviously, new quarterback. Chargers just missed out on the playoffs last year. The Cardinals, obviously, a lot of turnover there, missed it. And then the Packers, who with Aaron Rodgers. Those first 6 weeks, if they come out 4-2, I feel very confident in what I just said.
If they're 2-4, 3-3, I'd feel good.
Yeah, well, if they're 3-3, 2-4, you never feel good.
People hate the Lions, but that's an 8-8, 9-7 football team almost every year. The last, 3 years, they've been right there.
The only good thing with the Lions is they have Lions at home. But they go into, out of those first six games, let me make sure I'm saying this correctly here. Yeah, so it's at. So their first six games, they go to Minnesota, to Kansas City, to Los Angeles, and to Green Bay. So four of their first six games are on the road.
That's tough.
Extremely tough. And those six quarterbacks are Kirk Cousins, rookie Patrick Mahomes, Phillip Rivers, and Aaron Rodgers.
It's tough.
And you're talking about three Pro Bowl level quarterbacks.
It's real tough.
Very interesting. Honestly, though, the way I look at it, if I'm a 49ers fan, I'm slightly more positive than as a Chicago Bears fan. I didn't realize their draft was that bad until breaking it down. I like what the Bears are doing drafting-wise, much, much better free agency-wise, on the same level. Obviously, I just like their franchise quarterback much more because Jimmy G is a stud and Mitch Trubisky is a schmuck.
All right. Anything else, boys?
That's all I got.
Tim?
Peace out, mother trucker.
All right, guys, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you enjoyed the breakdown for the 49ers. Again, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Keg Sports, at @Pony_Keg_Tom, and at Fight Talk Tim. You guys can always email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com. And until next time.